For our part, we do want to respect and indeed better understand the language and culture which we're not a part of. And to that end, over the next short period of time, I do intend to listen and to engage with those from the Gaelic Irish background, those without party political baggage or indeed demands, but people who genuinely love the Irish language and don't want to use it as a political weapon. So I very much look forward to that engagement over the next short period of time.
Is that music to your ears, Janet?
Well, we welcome the statement. I think there are a couple of things that, I'm kind of sorry to hear Arlene Foster talk about the Irish language as being a language and culture that they are not a part of, because the language belongs to everyone. And I think that that's become increasingly clear over the past few decades. Anybody who loves the language, enjoys the language, wants to learn the language, wants to speak the language, can share in it on any kind of basis. There's no blocks there. So I am glad, and I do welcome the statement, and we wrote immediately to Arlene Foster saying that we'd like to meet with her and we'd like to discuss this further. So I suppose it's good and slightly less good, but you have to expect this, I think, at this juncture in the talks. Everything's still to play for.
Is there a sense in what you're saying that you feel you're being set up for some sort of double whammy here? There's a suggestion that, yes, there's a softening on the Irish language, but there may be some other demand that'll be weaved in that will make it difficult for the politicians.
Well, I mean, the proof of the pudding is always in the eating. And I think that, we would have a concern that not, just through the whole processes that we've seen through political talks over the last number of years, we would be concerned that what we might end up with, in effect, is a sort of a tick box exercise. That's not going to help the Irish language. What the Irish language needs is strong, comprehensive rights-based legislation. And we've done a great deal of work over the years to outline expert-supported proposals that have been consulted on very widely, both at a community level and at a governmental level, and are widely supported by the community, overwhelmingly supported in those consultations. And that's what we want to see as the basis of the Irish Language Act. We don't want to see weak legislation that's full of holes, that isn't really going to move anything forward. We don't want to see a total refusal either. We need something. Politicians say that they are committed to evidence-based policy and evidence-based legislation, that they look at research, that they take on board expert opinion, that they take on board the community views. And that's what we want them to do. And we want them to act quickly, to get this all over and done with now, to say, yes, there will be legislation. There's a question, I think, whether the legislation should be brought in at Stormont or at Westminster. Arguably, Stormont legislation can't legislate for a great number of the issues that affect us, like the media and things like that, crown bodies and so on, tax, income tax, all those kind of things. So I think what we want to see is the politicians moving forward, leaving behind the old arguments and acting not just for the sake of being seen to act, but acting effectively. And that means bringing in proposals, legislation based on the proposals that we have put out there over the period of years, because they are expert proposals and they will deliver an Irish Language Act that can cut back on frustration and can actually move us forward.
So you want legislation even beyond Stormont. You want Irish to be used by public bodies. You want Irish to be used in the courts. You want Irish to be used in the Assembly. You want an Irish language commissioner. You want investment in the Gaeltacht areas. Some people are saying it could be a cost of £100 million a year. It's £37 million a year in Scotland, but according to those who certainly bat against you, it is going to cost a significant amount of money to run this Irish Language Act. And did you say there you even want your tax returns sent out to you in Irish?
No, but I think that what we need to realise is that we can't cost an Irish Language Act until we know what's in the Irish Language Act. Otherwise, we're just propagandising really around the language and batting the issue backwards and forwards. We need to have the draft legislation agreed, and then we can cost it reasonably. You can't just pull figures out of the air. There's no point in that. You just end up tying yourself in knots.
But have you any idea what it costs? Because if you're demanding something, you need to have some notion of the impact on the exchequer.
Well, I think that, you know, you can't cost something if you don't know whether it's going to be brought in this year or next year or in 5 years' time. That is actually how you end up spending far more money than you should do. It's not, you know, nothing is ever costed in that way. If the City Council wanted to refurbish a leisure centre in 10 years' time, it wouldn't say, this is what it's going to cost now. They can't tell you that.
But if it was to come in the next 12 months, what would it cost?
Well, if it were to come in with the 12 in the next 12 months, it depends on what's in the legislation. And I really don't want to get tied up in this issue of cost, because I think that...
Yeah, but it's very important to your critics. It's hugely important to your critics, because they want cost-effective government.
And so do we. We pay for government. You know, we're taxpayers too, and we don't want to see money wasted. And that's why we feel very strongly about this issue of not making this a tick-box exercise, not bringing it in on the basis of saying, well, we've dealt with that issue, now it will go away. Because if the legislation is weak and if it doesn't deliver a wide range of services, appropriate services for the community, then all it will do is increase frustration. There will be costs related to court cases being taken to tease out what a weak act that's full of holes actually means. There will be coming and going, there will be changes in policy depending on which minister is in, what interpretation they have of the act. It's really crucial that we do have a clear rights-based act so that everybody knows what they're doing. That is the best basis for pre-planning and for cutting costs.
Your critics also say that the country's been held to ransom over it, particularly by Sinn Féin. The SDLP, of course, big promoters of the Irish Language Act as well, and demanding it. But there, for a lot of Joes and Josephines out there, there are so many much more important things than the Irish language, and the country is not being run properly because of this argument. There is the legacy issue, of course, but the legacy issue is, in many ways, beyond the local politicians. It's beyond the DUP giving in on something. The Irish Language Act and this whole issue of same-sex marriage and equality to other people would be seen as minor issues regarding the running of the country. Why can we not get on with government?
Well, you know, the people who are supportive of the Irish language and who use the Irish language every day, the people who want to see equality in marriage terms, the people who want to see a Bill of Rights, these are the people. You know, we may not all agree on everything, but we are not outside of society. We are the people, and we are entitled to be treated with equal respect and to have our rights protected. If we were treated equally in the first place, this argument about human rights wouldn't be so vital. But in the north of Ireland, you cannot simply say, look, there's more important things than what that group of people wants, so we will just leave them aside. That's how you get conflict. And when a deeply embedded issue like culture, like language, like equality at any level continues over a long period of time, it must be dealt with, and it must be dealt with effectively. And then, you know, we can all get on with all of the issues that affect all of us, culture, health, the economy, everything else. But you cannot simply say this group of people are not deserving of their rights, and therefore we will say there are more important issues and we're not going to talk to them.
Okay, John and Miller, if you don't mind, you maybe could stay with me, because I want to speak to Nelson McCausland as well. Nelson McCausland, good morning.
Good morning.
They're not asking for very much, Nelson. Goodness gracious, give the act, give equality, and get on with running the country.
Well, I think that if that was the case, you were listening to a different interview to the one I was listening to. It was quite clear that Janet Mueller and Powell have a very extensive, expansive, and I would suggest expensive proposal. I've read their proposal. They published in 2006. They published again in 2012. So for 10 years, they've had documents setting out their demands for an Irish Language Act. And it's disappointing that after all these years, we still can't be given even an estimate. And I know she pressed Janet on that. We haven't even been given a vague estimate of what the Pubble proposal might cost. But I want to get to the core issue here, which is this. If we're going to build a shared and better future in Northern Ireland, it needs to be based on a recognition that we have different cultural traditions, we have a range of different language traditions, we have a range of cultural identities. And fundamentally, this is really all beyond language. It's about language as an expression of an identity. Now, I could give endless quotes about that, but that's the reality. And I think that's widely recognised, because people from the Irish language community that I've spoken to have said openly to me that they see this as very important to them because it's an expression of their identity. And that's fine. Now, let's recognise the fact there are other traditions. There are other communities. There are other cultures. There are other identities. Let's look at all of the different cultural identities, because when it came to the Belfast Agreement, this was unfinished business. There were commitments made to the Irish language, but not to other cultural traditions. And I want to see a general debate, a discussion, and hopefully maybe some resolution by reframing that discussion, not around a single language and a single demand, but about the whole picture of cultural identity in Northern Ireland.
So your leader hasn't softened on it. She's just luring the Irish language speakers in to have a welcoming cup of tea with her. But this is the point she's going to make to them, that there has to be other traditions, other cultures, a wider British stroke, Orange stroke, Unionist framework built into this act if it's going to be anything like an Irish Language Act.
With respect, Frank, I think that would be to diminish and demean what was actually said yesterday by Arlene Foster. What she said was that she wanted to talk to, she wanted to have people from the Irish language communities, she wanted to have a better understanding, and she spoke about respect.
Yes, but just on that, Nelson. It is a journey that she seems to be on. But what exactly does it mean? And the reason I say it's a journey, I'll just remind you of a couple of months ago.
See you later, alligator.
You know, it's the old line there, isn't it? From Gerry Adams on the back of what Arlene Foster had said.
I mean, this characterisation of we should have given something to Sinn Féin to keep them appeased is not the way I do business. If you feed a crocodile, they're going to keep coming back and looking for more.
So that has blighted the Irish language, hasn't it? That comment from your leader.
Well, first of all, Frank, I think the reference was not to the Irish language or the Irish language community. It was a reference to Sinn Féin. But the point is this. Over the years, in fact, not so long ago, I was referred to as a dinosaur by a political opponent. Now, reptiles take many different forms. You can have alligators, crocodiles, dinosaurs, all sorts. I didn't get terribly upset or worked up about it. They just said, well, that's what they think, so let's move on.
Yes, but I understand. But the point is, Nelson McCausland, yeah. She did make a reference to crocodiles, and it was very much about the Irish language, and Sinn Féin looking
no,
for
no,
it. And now
no,
she's luring in the Gilgors into her bosom or web. Which is the best way of describing it?
What she said is very clear. She said she wanted to have a better understanding, and she wanted to show respect. Now, I think that if we look back over the history of the past 20-odd years, there's been a lot of debate and argument, and at times, quite honestly, the whole atmosphere has become toxic. We need to address this, and we need to look at what central government, in terms of the Northern Ireland Office, what it does. We need to look at what Sinn Féin do. We need to look at what the DUP and other unionists do. We need to look at what the media do. I think that there's a lot of things that have been done and said that we might want to reflect on. We should also, I think, have a respectful attitude to others. Let's try and create a shared and better future in Northern Ireland where all traditions, including my cultural traditions that I identify with, are given the same respect. The problem, I think, goes back to the Belfast Agreement, because that agreement was cobbled together in a way that gave preferential treatment for the Irish language. Made a whole series of commitments in terms of education, commitments in terms of broadcasting, and that's the reason why we have now such an extensive scheme or provision in terms of Irish medium schools, Irish language broadcasting on our public service broadcasters. There's a whole series of commitments that were made then to one section. Now, what about the rest of the community and their traditions? Should they not be accommodated? Should they not be respected? Should they not be given the same commitments? And therefore, we move forward on a base of equality.
But surely some, other cultures are orange. Recognised. The Orange tradition, the Ulster Scots tradition, is recognised, on, particularly on BBC transmissions, like the Irish language.
Well, first of all, in terms of education, there is no provision within our education system for people to learn about these things. I think that the rights of the child, as enshrined in the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, are not being properly implemented for children who come from an Ulster Scots or an Orange tradition. I think also if you look at broadcasting, there's a huge disparity. There's been someone working in the BBC employed in there since 1983, we're talking about another broadcaster, I'm sure you won't mind. There have been people employed in there. The first person was employed, I think, back in 1983. They started broadcasting in Irish in 1983, and about 1985, the first person was employed. It's only recently that we've had someone employed to deal with Ulster Scots broadcasting. There was a whole unit dealing with it in the BBC. There was nothing, really, until recently. And there wasn't even a broadcast fund until the Hillsborough Agreement. I was there, and that was something that we negotiated, and it's been very successful. So there hasn't been equality, and we need to have a conversation about how we can have a common understanding of how other traditions will be accommodated as well. And if we want that shared and better future, it has to be based on that, or it just won't work.
Nelson McCausland, thank you. I just want to give a final word to Janet Mueller on that from Fobel. Just be a bit more embracing of other cultures and maybe it could all be sorted, Janet.
Well, that would be lovely. And I think that that's a message that needs to go out to all. I think the reason that the Irish language is in a different position, part of the reason that the Irish language is in a different developmental position than Ulster Scots, is because of the work that Irish speakers have done themselves. The Irish medium education system was set up without any support from the state or government for over 20 years until the first school received funding. We have had this period, we have had like 40 years now of exclusion of Irish speakers. I think that it's very important to show respect for all languages and all dialects, but it's also very important to recognise what international experts say, which is that to treat different languages that are different at different developmental levels as if they were exactly the same damages all languages. It's not appropriate, it's not useful, it's simply a political mechanism for distracting attention. We would wish, that Ulster Scots users and people who are interested in that language and culture, which is also of interest to us, can move forward and get the resources and the support that they need. But I don't think that they're calling for an act for Ulster Scots. I think that Irish speakers have now not only been calling for an Irish Language Act for many years, but it was a commitment that was given by the British government in the St Andrews Agreement.
Okay.
And we've been waiting for 10 years for its fulfilment. And now's the time to move forward based on expert advice and based on the best research and the best practice internationally.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there.
Equality.
And just your final word, Nelson McCausland.
And I think the one word that we need to have in there is the word equality, because equality should be for everybody. Whatever their tradition, whatever their background, a shared understanding where all the different cultural identities in Northern Ireland are publicly affirmed and valued and validated equally, including not just an Irish language, but also the Ulster Scots language, the Orange tradition, the Ulster British tradition, all traditions should be treated fairly and equitably.
Got to have to leave it there. Nelson McCausland, Janet Mueller, thank you both very much.